It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins. He's from Blevins Franks, of course. And how are we doing today, Bill?
Yeah, we are. Well, I'm getting over overindulgence, if I can. I'm getting overindulgence. I'm sorry, that sounds like a duplication, but you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean.
Time spent with the family, too much food, too much wine. Yes. But nonetheless, more or less getting back to normal now, Howard.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's come down to earth then and talk about UK inheritance tax and what expatriates need to know. Phil, do you think it's fair to say that inheritance tax is one of the most unpopular taxes in the UK? And does it generate a lot of revenue for the government?
Oh dear, it's a very good question, but I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm being trite by almost laughing at that. Of course, it is, I think in my opinion, it is the most unpopular tax. You don't really get to feel it's unpopular very often because you're no longer here when the punishment comes. The simple fact is that it's atrocious, in my view, that the inheritance tax has been used by, certainly in the UK, by the government as a soft touch for collecting huge amounts of additional revenue. They have not increased sufficiently enough the thresholds at which the tax becomes payable or the rate which is payable. And the simple fact is lots of people have been elevated into this enormous tax take through no fault of their own, just simply because of rising property prices. It's moved lots of people into a tax band they had never expected to enter. And the simple truth is that, you know, whilst people dislike paying income tax and capital gains tax, they are current things that you experience during your lifetime. The real lack of popularity, of course, is with the surviving spouses of individuals or the surviving children of individuals who leave the benefit of their life's accumulation of wealth because they worked hard for it, to find that a huge chunk of it disappears down the throat of the tax man. And you know, year by year, the revenue that is generated has soared for the UK Treasury, for sure, with more and more families getting caught in the net for the reasons I've given. I mean, a record high last year of £5.4 billion was collected in the last tax year. That's over double. Over a nine-year period, the amount collected has actually doubled, and that's because the government have used this as a soft touch for increasing tax take. For expatriates, it can be particularly difficult to know where you stand with UK inheritance tax, because it's payable by UK domiciles. That word is not defined in statute, tax statute. It is defined in the diary as where you live, but that's not what the revenue think. The revenue think that you can be resident of Spain, and very easily, and I suggest that probably in excess of 70% of people who are expatriated around the world still retain their UK domicile by virtue of the way they have organised their affairs. And as a consequence of retaining that domicile status, they remain liable for inheritance tax on their worldwide assets. Now, they might be, in some cases, double tax treaty that helps them out avoiding double taxation. But nonetheless, you don't really want the complication of being a domicile if you can avoid it. An average inheritance tax bill, I read recently, runs to something just short of £180,000 for every estate that's affected. But of course, the wealthier you are, the bigger the bill. It pays really for everyone to kind of understand what their position is and what they might do. They may not choose to do it, but what they might do to secure a non-domicile status, thereby removing themselves for as long as that status remains in place from UK inheritance tax. Or at least minimising the exposure to UK inheritance tax for their beneficiaries. Because, as I say, it is unpopular. It's not unpopular with the person who passes on. It's unpopular with the people who have to pick up the pieces and pay the bills for unnecessary inheritance or succession taxes.
Yeah. Well, the UK government introduced a main home allowance a couple of years ago. Can you explain what this is?
Yeah, it's a relatively new relief. From 2009 to 2017, the only available inheritance tax relief was what's known as a nil rate band. If you passed £325,000 or £650,000, that is for a couple, to a non-exempt party, your children, for example, anything above that was taxed at 40%. But 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, April 2017, they introduced a thing called the residential nil rate band. Now, if ever there was a spoof, in my view, this is it. it's sometimes called the family home allowance. That has provided some additional relief when you're passing on your main home, to direct descendants. And the good news for expatriates is that the UK will allow you to claim, even if you're UK domicile, they will allow you to claim this allowance on a property outside of the UK, provided it's your main home. But remember, you may also have local succession law liabilities as well. Now, currently, at 150,000, the UK's tax-free threshold is set to increase to 175,000 under this new relief in April 2020, before it starts tracking inflation in future years. As with, you know, the standard allowance, you can transfer any unused balance on this between yourself, your spouse, or your civil partner, and that gives you a total potential threshold of $1 million for a couple by 2021. But to be eligible for this allowance, the property has to be recognised as your main home, as you must have lived in it at some point. That excludes, therefore, most investment properties. It's only available on the one property that's passed directly to children or grandchildren. So homes owned indirectly through trusts or other structures wouldn't qualify. And also larger estates won't receive the relief in full. If your estate, not the property, your estate is worth over $2 million, you have a lower threshold, and those valued over $2.25 million are not currently eligible for any of this relief whatsoever. So your entire estate is counted here, as I'd like to repeat, not just your property value. So it's a restrictive allowance, and it hasn't really brought massive benefit. It sounded like a good thing at the time, but it hasn't really reduced the amount of tax take that's coming from people who have fallen into the inheritance tax trap by virtue of the increases in property prices, which of course is beyond their control. And to increase this by reference to the rate of inflation is to widen the spoof, in my opinion, because if the RPI, as I honestly believe it to be, significantly manipulated politically, is running at say 2.5% or even 3%, we know that in certain parts of the UK, property prices rise considerably above that every year, and that really isn't, therefore, a protection against falling into the inheritance tax trap by virtue of property price rises.
Yeah. So does this extra allowance help to reduce a family's inheritance tax bill?
It does. In the circumstances I've just described, with the limitations I've explained, it does reduce your tax bill. But, as I say, the limitations and the conditions are very difficult to meet, and I think that for every 5 cases I've looked at, only 1 or 2 have had a material benefit from this new allowance. So I don't think it's as clever as it sounds.
Okay. Well, Bill, I believe that expatriates continue to be affected by UK inheritance tax. Why is this?
Yeah, they do. As I alluded to earlier, about, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, this is a rough guess, but I would say that about 70%, if not a little more, of the individuals who come to talk to us come with an understanding that they're going to be living in Spain for the rest of their life. And as a consequence, they've taken up residence, and therefore they have, if you like, cut themselves off from the UK and all of its tax systems. However, the UK revenue have a term called domicile, which is very different to residence. The revenue, we talked previously about UK residence, Howard, but the difference between residence and domicile is residence is where, under the double tax treaty and the checks and balances that you have to go through, tell you you are actually resident. And we emphasised last week of the importance of looking at the statutory residence test to make sure you know for sure where you are a resident. But it's very difficult for you to easily know whether you're a UK domicile or not. And because the revenue's attitude to whether you're a domicile or not is always to look on the side of capturing you as a domicile, because if you are a domicile, you still remain liable to UK inheritance tax. We have lots of individuals who come to us for advice who've been living in Spain for the last 30 years, but by virtue of their ownership of UK assets by virtue of having accessible property, by virtue of having an income that arises in the UK, by virtue of the return visits to the UK, by virtue of the family connections, also a membership of clubs and associations, all of those things. When you are no longer here to protect yourself, the revenue looks through the whole of your life circumstances with a microscope to see if they can find sufficient substance to suggest that your association with the UK is enough to make you a domicile, because then the cash register rings out loud, because the moment you are a UK domicile, you fall fully liable to UK inheritance tax and you get the allowances. But as I've mentioned before, the difficulty with UK inheritance tax in relation to people living in Spain is that Spain charge succession tax on residents, and you only have to live in Spain to be a resident for the required period. But if you are both a domicile of the UK and a resident of Spain, perfectly possible, and that happens so often I can't tell you, you are actually liable for tax on the same assets in each jurisdiction. Now, there is a form of unilateral relief that you can negotiate, but it takes a long time, often 2 or even 3 years, to negotiate where you're going to pay the tax on what. The sum total is that you pay much more than you would otherwise need to pay. And as I said to you before many times, in the financial services industry, we often consider inheritance and succession taxes to a slightly lesser extent, but nonetheless, we consider them both to be voluntary taxes in the sense that if you aren't doing something to reduce those taxes, then you're really volunteering to pay something that was unnecessary. And of course, the people who don't benefit from inactivity, it's not the individual himself or herself, it's the people who receive the benefits. And, you know, if you haven't done the planning in place, it's going to be costly at the end of the day to your beneficiaries and heirs.
Talking about domicile, Bill, is it easy to determine whether you're still a UK domicile or you've adopted a domicile of choice in Spain?
I mean, even after, as I said, many, many years of living abroad, you could still be considered UK domicile, bringing your worldwide assets into a tax liability of 40%, which is where inheritance tax sits. One of the key problems often is that whilst individuals suggest that they're going to live in Spain for the rest of their lives, any indication of any intention at any point in the future of the possibility of a return to the UK means you are still a UK domicile. If you go back to the UK on holiday and you happen to look in an estate agent's window and think, oh, I don't know, that might be interesting, you register your name with the estate agent, he sends you some stuff, that will surely come out in the wash as an intention to return. You don't have to return. You only have to have an intention to return, because domicile can only be granted if you meet all the criteria and you have what is known as an indefinite intention to reside abroad. Indefinite means what it says, indefinite, forever. So you have to be very careful about how you run the things that you go through in your experiences of life as an expat, and make sure you don't create the impression that you may go back. That would be enough to make you a domicile. Now, if you want to have much more certain, because domicile is thought of by many, both professional advisors and certainly by clients who come and say, look, I know it's almost impossible to get the revenue to agree that I'm a non-domicile. Well, that isn't actually true. What you need to know is that by analysis and investigation of your circumstances, you are definitely not a domicile as far as professional advice is concerned. And Blevins Franks have a domicile determination questionnaire, which we go through with individual clients who come to see us, who have an indication of not being certain whether they're a domicile or not, or we may introduce the subject to make sure that if there are small little tweaks that they might do within their personal arrangements around their wealth management, their financial life, their personal life, if there are little things we can do that move them out of the UK and they become a non-domicile, then the whole of the UK inheritance tax question has evaporated in an instant. And more importantly, as a non-domicile of the UK, there are some very interesting things you can do about creating wealth outside of the remit of a UK domiciled individual, which can last you for the rest of your life, even if at some point in the future, although you never showed any intention to do it, even if at some point in the future, you or more particularly your surviving spouse returns to the UK in later life for whatever reason, family, health or whatever. So obtaining non-domicile status is a very vital part of your overall tax planning, but you have got to sit down with experts to know whether you can qualify or not. And if you do, well, there are things that you might do that are massively beneficial. And even if you don't qualify, there are arrangements you can make to ensure that you don't fall liable to tax in more than one jurisdiction in respect of your assets.
Bill, what about UK assets? Does domicile matter here?
I probably said almost enough about that, Howard, in the sense that, you know, if you are non-domicile, if you've gone through the Blevins-Franks domicile determination questionnaire, and we've all agreed after investigating your circumstances that you're a non-domicile, you're therefore outside of the UK inheritance tax net, except for what? Except for any assets which are located in the UK, because UK inheritance tax is charged on UK domiciles or on UK domiciled assets. So you could, for example, and it's an extreme example perhaps, but if you were, I don't know, a man from China, a Chinese man who was very wealthy, lived in Beijing, never been to the UK in his entire life, but he invested 10 million in a plant to manufacture goods in the UK. It's been the other way around for the last 3 decades, but you know what I mean. He's put 10 million into this plant in the UK to manufacture goods. That asset will be liable to inheritance tax and probably would cost somewhere in the region of 4 million in inheritance tax when that poor chap in Beijing pops his clogs, even if he's never been to the UK. So tax is chargeable on UK domiciles and chargeable on assets domiciled in the UK, even if they're owned by a non-domicile.
Well, finally, Bill, what advice do you have for our listeners on how to reduce UK inheritance tax and Spanish succession tax for their heirs?
I think it really is a simple question, I think, of taking advice, Howard. I don't want to make this appear like a continuous plug for Blevins Franks. You know, I would say that, wouldn't I? But again, this is one of those complex subjects, and if you don't know what you don't know, you're going to end up, I'm afraid, making a mistake. And if you make a mistake, it's not that you, the individual, perhaps, is going to be the victim of that, but your spouse, your surviving spouse, your children or your grandchildren, any other beneficiaries are going to be the ones who end up with less of what you expected them to get because you haven't planned properly. And so I think, you know, it doesn't cost anything to talk and making an initial engagement to discuss your affairs with Blevins Franks, to perhaps arrange to go through the domicile determination questionnaire as a second step, to then move you on to what you might do to take advantage of being a non-domicile, or what you might do to reposition if you are a domicile and can't get out of that arrangement. The idea is that talk solves the problems. And, you know, you get to a position where you're given, certainly with Blevins Franks, all of the advice in a digestible form so that you're capable of making a choice and moving with that choice to your advantage. And that really is what I would suggest, is you contact Blevins Franks, go to one of the local offices, have a discussion with them about your current position, and they will give you the best advice possible.
And you can get a list of the local offices at the website.
Yeah, that's the best place to do it. If you go to the website at www.blevinsfranks.com, you will find a list of the local offices. There'll be one close to you. You give them a ring, tell them you'd like to talk to them about assessing your domicile status with a view to mitigating inheritance tax. They will talk to you openly and honestly about whatever is best for you and your circumstances.
Many thanks, Bill. We'll talk again. Oh, hold on, before we go, I've got to wish you a happy new year.
Thanks a lot, Howard. That's very,
time
very
flies,
kind of
it.
It does. I've only just got over the indigestion of Christmas, and now we walk almost immediately into the next phase of the festivities. Of course, in Spain, it seems to go on forever with Three Kings and everything. But
Three Kings on the sixth, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the truth is, I wish you, Howard, a very happy and, in particular, a healthy new year. I wish for our clients exactly the same. I wish for all of our listeners, clients or not, a happy, prosperous, but most importantly, a healthy 2020, in the hope that we finally get to the point where the political shenanigans of the last 3 years is history and we start to move forward as a European entity, including the UK as a neighbour.
Yeah, as the Spanish say, ojalá, wish that would be so.
Sí.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, thank you. We'll talk again in the new year.
Thanks a lot, Howard. See you in 2020.